Balon rokovak yakushak tadabala kasa. Elohim Adonai, we thank you. Eda da 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 sampa baba bo sokla drovaki da dudus. Zambro dodo sok do tokoto bobo sumpa baba babas. I want to welcome everyone that's joining us this evening for the Shift Online Revival. Zakos Cobra Davantro Cobra. Kela baba busukande kravodra vatra kaptaya stato tokoto bobo sompo bobo 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 shampa baba baba ibanto tokoto bobo sompa baba baba kala baba 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 bo sampa baba baba zampa baba 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 kela broka takata baba Amba baba 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 bus. Kela babandro kop toto koto bousha. Bradola. Bosok to the bantro. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Tinashe, I think we now have sound. God bless you for joining in. Anyone that's connecting this evening, please share this broadcast. Kindly invite 7 people. Text somebody, tell somebody to come online so that we can have a power and a mega service together. I'm trusting God that in this Shift Online Revival, God is going to release expressions of the divine kind into people's lives. All right. Now, is the Shift Online Revival? I want to take you through a couple of scriptures, and God is going to bless us. Before we get into all that, first and foremost, allow me to honor the set man of this house, Apostle Michael New and Dr. Ruth Mike New. We're so grateful that they've allowed us to be here. I am in the studio with my wife. She's just not going to be on the set with me today, but we are here together to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Apostle Mike and Dr. Ruth, thank you so much for allowing us to be here with you and to minister the thoughts of God to the entirety of the body of Christ. Wherever you're connecting from tonight, good evening. Some people, I know it's in the morning, good morning. Others, it's in the afternoon, good afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us even tonight. I want to walk you through a couple of scriptures as we deal with the shift revival. Tomorrow in the evening, I'm going to be with Apostle Mike as we continue to journey in the assignment that God has released us. Whenever we talk about a shift, we're essentially introducing an idea from one level to another, from one place to another. There is movement whenever there's a shift. Shifts take place in different spheres of human occupants. You might be a politician who ran for councillor last time. You can shift from being a councillor to becoming a member of parliament. That's a shift. You might be a single man who has been leading their life for a significant amount of time single. The day you get married, you have moved your life from that which is being single to becoming a married person. And so even tonight, we're going to see shift. But in particular, I want to talk about shift in prosperity, where you're coming from a place where you've been poor, and now you're moving to wealth, significance, and influence, where you're moving from a place where you did not have any significant material resources to being a global property owner. To introduce that thought to us, let's go to Psalm 30, verse 6. Then I'll pray, and then we'll talk. Psalm 30, verse 6, the word of the Lord says, "And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved." That's the introductory thought. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. I want it to be evident to you that in the way that God operates, God has considered you, the believer, that you must never be moved out of the place of prosperity. God is very, very jealous, very considerate of the fact that you must prosper. And so the announcement, according to Psalm 30, which is my favorite Bible verse, there's so many Bible verses that I love, but this is one of the most favorite. I own this one for myself. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. The Lord spoke to me some time ago, I think it's over 7 years now. And Elohim said to me, you will prosper, you will grow wealthy, you will increase, you will abound. And I stood even on the promise of Psalm 30, verse 6, that in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. But prosperity has a process. Prosperity has an order, an operation that it must have even in the life of a person. And so now we're going to begin to introduce Proverbs 3. We're going to work Proverbs 3 until we get to verse 10, from verse 1 to verse 10. That's how we're going to work Proverbs 3. Because here we're going to find rules that establish you in prosperity. Rules that establish you in prosperity. And one of the things that I'm persuaded about is, as long as you're listening to me tonight, from wherever you're connected from, the Lord has earmarked you for prosperity. Proverbs 3, verse 1, the word of the Lord says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Father, we thank you for this powerful word. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." So this is the word of the Lord to the believer. If you are going to operate in a realm of prosperity in your life, there are rules that undergird that prosperity. If the spirit of prosperity, if the garment of wealth is going to sit over your life, there are rules that undergird that garment to be over your life. And it starts by, forget not the law of the Lord. What does that mean? Forget not the counsel of the Lord. So as a believer, a maturing believer, an emerging believer, one of the things that you must have an appetite for is to seek out the principles that are in the Word of God, is to go for the Word of God. And I say this in one presentation I made over the weekend on Sunday. And I say that the Word of God, the Bible, is the Word of God. The Bible does not contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. It is the revealed mind of God in this dispensation, in this time era that we are in. God specifically put together the Bible for the development of the Christian community. That's why whosoever has held on and applied the rules of the Bible has prospered. Some time ago, the Lord opened my eyes as I was looking at various ministries globally. I started by looking at Celebration Church International, that's led by Pastor Tom Duchamp. And then I looked at Hillsong, that was led then by Pastor Brian Houston. And then I looked at the Porter's House of Dallas, that was led by Bishop T.D. Jakes. And there was one consistent feature in all these churches. It was an emphasis on the authority, on the authoritative text that the Bible is, how every one of them placed emphasis on the Word of God. And the Lord said to me, I remember clearly, He said, whether a person is in Australia, is in Malawi, is in the United States of America, if they apply the law of the Bible, the rules that are in the Bible, the Word of God, they will prosper. And I made a commitment that year that as long as the Bible has been given to me, I will prosper wherever I am. If you find me, wherever you put me, you might put me in South Sudan, you might put me in Somalia, you might put me in Eritrea, you might put me in Austria, where there seems to be no movement of anything that is God-related. The very fact that I have the Word of God with me, I will make good success in that place. That was my commitment towards the Word. So here, the writer in Proverbs 3 is very clear about what he is saying. He says, number one, as an introductory thought, forget not the law of the Lord. Forget not the law. Forget not the Word of God. Keep it with you. Make it your everyday way of life. When I was just turning 24, and in 22, 23, 24, the Lord began to impress upon me to move with my Bible, the paper Bible, every day, wherever I was. I'll be holding my paper Bible. Sometimes it will be underneath my armpits here. And I'll be having that Bible every day of my life. I'll be reading it. I'll be going through it. And I remember some people started to look at us strange, you know, that we were those pastor guys who were moving around with their Bibles. But there was a strong conviction in my spirit that this Word of God is going to be kept with me. Now, listen to verse number 2. What the Word of God will produce for you now. It starts here. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. If you have the Word of God, number one, length of days. Number two, long life. Those are two different things. I want you to pay attention that length of days and long life are two different things. I hear many times when people pray and they say, oh God, give me length of days, give me length of days. And they're trying to think of long life. Long life is where you live long, where here on the earth, you have a lot of years that you survive. But there are people that have a lot of years that have wallowed in poverty. People who are 85 and very poor. They got to 90 and they were poor. They were struggling. They actually had to live on handouts. They actually had to have other people assist them financially. The other day, I was laughing with my wife when I said to her that a person who is 90 years old and needs their grandchild to take care of them has failed in life. And she was like, you mustn't say that. It's a bit insulting. It's not insulting. It's telling you the honest truth. If you need your grandchildren to financially take care of you, you've failed in life, because that has never been the model of God. The model of God is a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. It's actually you, the elderly, that's supposed to financially take care of your children's children. Now, long life is having a lot of years to survive. Then length of days now is when your day that is 24 hours is lengthened in the way you're being so productive and prosperous that it will look like your 24-hour day is a 72-hour day. That's length of days now. Where in one day you accomplish what can be accomplished in 10 days. That's length of days. We have a very beautiful story where the prophet of God and the commander of God's armies, his name is Joshua, they go to war, and prophet Moses is still in charge of the army and the entire system of Israel. And whilst they're there, the Bible says they were fighting with the Amalekites in the valley. It should have been in Rephidim. And whilst they were in that valley, the Bible says the sun was about to go down. And Joshua was noticing that they were prevailing in the battle. But when the sun goes down, it also means that it's now dark. And your enemies can retreat and flee and run away. The Bible says the prophet of the Lord lifted up his voice and commanded the sun to stand still and the moon to stand still. What happened that day? Joshua had length of days in his life. I decree and I declare over your life in this Shift Revival Conference, may you have length of days in whatever you're doing. I decree and declare that in whatsoever the works of your hands are doing, may you become more productive than everybody else that is around you. I decree and I declare that may Elohim give you the ability to be super productive even more than your enemies. Why? Because you've also kept the law of the Lord. It adds on and then it says that peace and long life, rather peace shall they add to you. Now listen to the next verse now. We're going to do verse 3, verse 4. Then we'll jump again in verse 5 and 6. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. If prosperity is going to come into life, mercy and truth have to be emphasized. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. What are you writing upon the table of your heart? Mercy and truth. Mercy is essentially having a general kindness and a loving kindness that you extend to other people, to humanity. One of the challenges that the entirety of the family of the earth is suffering from is there is too much cruelty that's going on around. But God desires that we have loving kindness in our hearts where we are so merciful towards many people. We went somewhere with Apostle Mike and we just went to get something to eat. When we got to that place, the man of God then shared with me that the person that runs that joint every night prepares food for the homeless people, the people that stay in the streets that are close to his area, and he gives out food. Now, that's what he can do in his own capacity. And I say this man must have had an encounter with the man of God that really changed his life. And so he loves to take care of people. What's that? It is loving kindness. What is it? Type in the comment section, loving kindness. God wants us all to have loving kindness. Number two, truth. You must never forsake truth in your life. You bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. Verse number four now brings the promise for doing that. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. This is prosperity. Do you see how God wants you to have prosperity in your life? So you can be cruel to people and you can be living in lies. You can have a lying tongue. You can be very deceitful. You're not honest. You don't tell people the truth. What that translates to, according to God, is you will not have favor. You have disfavor. You will not have good understanding in the sight of God. God will always misunderstand your prayer. You can imagine you're saying, Lord, prosper my life. I need wealth and finance to come away. But you're cruel. You're evil. You don't hold other people. You don't treat other people very well. You're so condescending. You are very insulting. You look at everybody with disdain and shame. You criticize everything that comes around you. You literally spit in people's faces. You don't extend kindness to other human beings on the face of the earth. Pretty much more those of the household of the faith. You are cruel to everything that's around you. You are very stingy. And then you are saying to God, prosper me. It doesn't work. God will never prosper you. Trust me. You will never prosper. You just be living from hand to mouth. Do you know that the poor that are like that? They don't have material resources. They're not abounding in wealth. Right now in the studio, I'm just looking around what's around us. I see prosperity galore. I see prosperity in advance, in abundance. I see the recording equipment that we're using to transmit all we're doing right now is probably in the thousands of dollars. And what's that? That's prosperity. That's God saying to his servant, I'm going to honor you so that you prosper and abound. Now, there are many of you that are very cruel. There are many of you that don't give resources to other people. You see people of your own family, you don't even extend kindness to them, and you want God to prosper you. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work. So mercy and truth, if you hold them, you will then have favor and good understanding in the sight of God. So what then happens now? God then looks at you. And when you pray, God then hears your prayer powerfully. Imagine. One of the things that I know most women have done this in their entire lifetime, you know? Most women have one powerful phrase that they use. And it's, you don't understand me. You don't understand me. And what they're simply saying is, I know you know what you want, but do you know what I want? Do you know what I want? And they'll say, you don't understand me, you don't understand me. So a fight can erupt in the house. My wife is not going to say anything right there. But they're simply saying, you don't understand me. You don't understand me. Why? You don't have good understanding. Now imagine God chooses to hear your prayer, but he decides to understand what he wants to understand about what you're praying. That's what the Bible is saying here. If you want to prosper, then mercy, loving kindness, and truth must be about your neck. They must be the decision-making platter that you have in your life. Where whatever decision you make in your life, you're considering mercy and you're considering truth. You are never going to defraud anybody. You're never going to lie to anybody. You're never going to create some story so that you get your way going. No, but you're going to hold on to the truth of the word of God. Brothers and sisters, hear me very well. I've been around a little bit longer than some people that I know. And I have found one consistent thing with God. The truth of the word of God abides eternally and permanently, regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And I know sometimes you want to quickly get material resources. You want to quickly have them, and then you're going to use hook or crook. Never do that. Never be that believer. Never be that kind of an individual. Always be the kind of individual that says, what the word of God says is what I live by. That's how I subscribe my life to the word of God. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and of man. God bless you. The Lord is going to cause you to prosper. Now here comes verse 5 and 6 now. Very, very critical. Remember, we're dealing with shift revival. And the shift is from poverty to wealth. Maybe you've been living from hand to mouth. Maybe you didn't have a lot of material resources in your life. Now we're saying, how do you transition from having little to having abundance? Verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. I remember in my foundational stages as a believer, this is one of those Bible verses that was always said. You know, sometimes when they would say it, it was a bit hard for me because I know how to trust in myself. I know how to apply things around, especially to be very calculative, 1 + 1 to get to 2. And now I'm having to relinquish all that power and all that authority to God. I'm like, my God, do these human beings understand what they're trying to introduce me to? But brothers and sisters, when I made that final commitment, that I have got to trust in the Lord with all my heart, even if it doesn't make sense, even if I'm not so sure what's going to happen in the future, even if I don't know the outcome, but I'm just saying, oh, Elohim, I trust you. It is in that place of trusting in the Lord that prosperity will rush into your life like a thunderstorm that's just raring to be released. You must trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I know it feels like everything around you is speaking contrary. I know your colleagues, your peers seem to have advanced more than you, but don't put yourself in that place. Stand in the place where you trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Do you see that? Oh, Jesus. It doesn't say 62%. It doesn't say 85%. It says all thine heart. It's very difficult, by the way, especially as a human being. Remember, you went to school. And in school, they taught you to read. They said, when you read, you're going to go into the exam. And in the exam, you're going to apply what you've read. And you're going to get the fruit of what you've read. Now you're having to say, everything that I've acquired in my life, I'm releasing it unto Elohim. It's not easy. Lean not on thine own understanding. I don't know if you understand that. You know, don't be that clever guy around. You've got to trust in the Lord. You don't lean on your own understanding. Yes, I know you went to school. I know you accomplished a lot with the education that they gave you. But where you are now, oh, Jesus. Now, it's not to insult education at all. No, but there is a realm where your interaction with God, you've got to forsake everything. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Philippians, I count everything but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. The loss of all things. Imagine a person with several PhDs. He's saying, I count this as rubbish and dung. It's nothing that I need in my life. And what is he doing? He is simply emphasizing a point that I do not lean on my own understanding. I stand on the authority of the word of God. I stand on the platform of what Elohim has spoken. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that everything that we see that is in existence today emanated from an utterance from Elohim. Elohim spoke everything into existence. He literally said, let they be, and things started to come together. The authority of his word is so strong and it is eternal that regardless of what time zone we find ourselves in what time dispensation we find ourselves in, his word abides eternally and forever. Forever, it abides. So if you want to prosper, if you want to advance, if you want to succeed, if you want to have good success, not human-defined success, I mean God-ordained success. If you want that in your life, then verse number 5 of the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, kicks in. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So now when my Bible teachers back then in the days were teaching me this Bible verse, they literally cultured in my heart that in whatever I do, I have to acknowledge God. Now, the way I took the Bible in my foundational stages was I took everything literally. Literally. That if I was going to the shops, I said, Lord, I acknowledge you in my ways, I'm going to the shops. Oh, Jesus. Woo! You know, the beauty of taking the word of God as an infant, just as direct as it is, will produce infant results that are phenomenal. When there is a turbulence and the plane is going through a turbulence, adults will start to pray in that place and they start to hold their hearts. Infants are smiling, they're laughing. They're actually calling for caca from mama. I want mama, caca, milk, because they know nothing. They're literally in the hands of the parents and they're not even aware of what's going on around them. That's what God is saying to you, that when it comes to relating with him about your life, you have got to acknowledge him in all your ways and he will shall direct your path. When others are saying, let's go left, Elohim is saying, go straight. When others are saying, let's go back, Elohim is saying, go straight. And guess what? You get God results with that. So stop trusting human processes. Because the good thing is this, and I've got to be honest with you, human processes will give you human results. But human results can never be compared to God results. That's where the difference is. So you see, a person might be driving a beautiful car, but it is a human result. Whereas if they had opted to take a God result, they would have been flying a private jet. That's how different God works with us. Now, listen to this. Listen to verse number 7 now. We're getting there. I told you we're going to end in verse number 10. If we are going to shift from poverty to prosperity, from poverty to abundance of wealth, then these are the rules that Elohim gave me tonight to share with you. Verse number 7. Proverbs 3 verse number 7. I hope my Bible lesson is helping you today. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Remember, I told you, you know those guys. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. This is not an easy one. Especially for most people that are in business. It's not an easy one. This one. Fear, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And you're thinking, oh, for me to get this contract, I just need to talk to somebody with a brown envelope. Elohim is saying it very clearly. Depart from evil. Anything that is not good in his sight, anything that is evil in the sight of the Lord, you depart from it.
And so one of the things that we know that you are a believer in the Lordship of Jesus Christ is to have the fear of the Lord and to depart from evil. Nowadays, it's so difficult in certain churches, okay, in certain gatherings, to even talk about departing from evil, because the biggest financiers are the ones that are propagating evil. Well, I'm not saying, yeah, but I'm just saying in certain circles, but other churches, the biggest financiers are the ones that are, I'm just trying to say a point here, just to say a point. You've got to depart from evil. You've got to make a conscious decision in your life. Hear me very well. One thing that you've got to capture in your life is that God wants you to prosper, but he doesn't want you to prosper the evil way. Okay, picture this. Jesus is fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He's hungry now. The devil came, the tempter came. Call him the tempter, he comes. He says, turn these stones into bread. He refuses that. Then he says that, let's go to top of the mountain. Jump down. And the word of the Lord is that he'll give his angels charge over you and they'll bear you. He says, you won't tempt the Lord your God. Then he brings the final one now. This was the mega one. The mega one is, bow down and worship me, and you're going to have all the kingdoms of the world. Do you know what that meant? Now, many people haven't really captured that. What the devil did that day is he showed him from the time of Adam. He showed him all the wealth that was in the world. From the time before Adam even fell out of the garden, he began to go with him generation after generation. The wealth that Abraham had, Isaac had, Jacob had, the Israelites, when they left Egypt, he showed him the wealth that Solomon had. He revealed all that realm, including what was present in his time, how much wealth Nebuchadnezzar had as a single emperor. He moved with him right through to the time of Caesar. And he said, all this becomes yours if you just bow down and worship. Now, one thing you must know, that was a statement of fact. The devil was literally going to release all that to Jesus. But guess what? It would have been wealth that was gotten through evil. It would have been wealth. Now, God doesn't want you to get wealth through that. He doesn't want you to do that. Because finally, Jesus went into the grave. He rose. Then Paul gives us a revelation. He says he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might abound to become rich. What is he simply showing us there? He's showing us that there is a justified means to become wealthy. That is not abounding and participating in evil. He became poor that we might become rich. So what does that imply for you? You then are not wise in your own eyes. You fear the Lord and you depart from evil. That's how you live your life. That's how you live your life. And then verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Verse 9 and 10 is where we're going to close our presentation on. This is where we're going to close on. And here, bear with me for a little bit of time because I need to assist you for the rest of your life. What I'm going to tell you today is going to change the way you've looked at life all these years. It's going to change how you've always been relating to God. Listen to verse number 9. This is a key to prosperity. This is how God wants you to prosper. Here it comes. Honor the Lord with thy substance. That's the King James Version. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. Let me read the ESV. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Here is the powerful thing. I have heard many people say, I honor you, I honor you, I honor you. It's called being fraudulent. Honor is not verbal. No. Honor has material substance accompanying it. Honor has wealth that comes with it. So I hear many people, especially in church, I've told the music guys at Life Excellence Church, the Excellence Music, James, Tadiwa, and Melissa, and the guys. And I've said to them, most of you guys lift up your hands and you say, Father, we honor you, we honor you. And you're busy saying those words in church. And I told them, once you do that, make sure you put the money to it. Oh, that's a difficult one. I know it's a hard pill to swallow. I know. Any honor that is just verbal is fraudulent. We need to call the Anti-Corruption Commission to come and lock many believers up because they are so fraudulent. They say, Father, we honor you, we honor you, we honor you. And then their pockets have never moved an inch. That's not honor. That's dishonor. That's an insult. When you honor God, the Bible is clear here. Remember, I told you, it's what the word of God is saying. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with thy wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Give God your wealth. This is how prosperity comes. Because the law of honor says, whatsoever you honor, honors you back. So if you honor education by going to school, education is going to honor you in the future. Ah, do you see how it works now? If you honor your husband, all the wives are going to be smiling. Your husband, in turn, will love you so much. It's never the other way. You go, love me first, love me first. No! Honor him. When you honor him, he will love you abundantly. There is one thing about men I've realized. I realized when I got married. I used to know it before I got married. Until I got married, it became okay now in my life. What was it now? When a woman honors you, there are energies that are released in you. So women, how do you honor your husband? Cook sansa for them. Go and kneel down and serve them food. Wash their hands. Say, baby, love you. I'm serving you. I'm giving you a dish. Give them money. Give your husband's money, baby. Give them money. It's honoring them. Now, when you honor, it is so easy for the male species to honor you. We call God Father. It is a gender role. When you honor God with your substance, there is so much energy that is released in God that causes you to prosper. I'll give you Bible verses. 1 Kings chapter number 3, round about verse 1 until 15. Solomon makes a conscious decision, not by any inspiration of God. He says, I want to honor God. He builds the biggest altar that has ever been built in human history. And then he puts 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. For you to understand what a burnt offering was, a burnt offering is like a gango. Those of you that are Zimbabwean, Shona, you know what I'm talking about. So where you've got a lamb, you've got a bull, you've got turtle doves, you've got a goat, that's one burnt offering. It's not just one of each. It can be three of each, four of each, one of this, five of that, whatever you decide, you put those together. So on average, a burnt offering can have 7 whole animals that are put on the place. That's one burnt offering. So most times when people hear of 1,000 burnt offerings, they think maybe Solomon took 1,000 bulls and then he slaughtered them. No, that's little, Baba. That's little for what Solomon did. Solomon took 1,000 burnt offerings. He took maybe 5 of the lamb, 3 of the bulls, 2 of the turtle doves. He put one. Then he took another. Then he took another. So on the day that he decided to do his burnt offerings, the Levites, who had the responsibility to dress those animals, to kill and then to dress them so that you put them properly, so that they're totally consumed by fire, they had to call for reinforcement. So there was a mass job offer that was called that day to say, please call all the Levites in different places to come. Because King Solomon has made a decision to offer 1,000 burnt offerings that day alone. The Levites got busy cutting. In my own head, when I did the study, they say that on average, you needed 50 Levites or 50 priests per day to serve in the temple. I believe on that day, there were close to 3,000, maybe 5,000 Levites that came to work based on what King Solomon decided to do. Here is Solomon honoring the Lord with his substance. He gives the burnt offerings. Now, the rule of the burnt offering was that the whole offering had to be consumed whole. The priests were not allowed to eat anything, to take anything from that. It was all to be totally consumed. Imagine the firewood that came that day. Imagine the ashes that were gathered and the smoke that went up to heaven. Now, this is how God operates. God operates on what he notices human beings have done. For example, if you fast one day, it's okay. But when you fast for 21 days, heaven notices that there's something different about this one. When you fast for 200 days, Elohim notices that this one has gone further than what others have done. So here now, God makes a conscious decision. Solomon is done offering his burnt offerings. He says, I'm done honoring God. He goes to bed. He's just going, it's a normal sleep that he's going for. Then God decides to visit him. He says, what do you want? For the first time in human history, God decides to ask a human being, what do you want based on what you've done? How many times have you done things in your life and people haven't even taken notice of what you've done? And I know people are like, oh, you know, every offering counts. Not every offering counts at the same level. They are different. Because how do you compare 1,000 burnt offering with just one burnt offering? So here God notices that there's something unique about this guy. He says, what do you want? And Solomon asks and says, please, you've trusted me with human lives. Give me a wise and an understanding heart. That's what he asks for. Then God says, because you've not asked for your enemies, nor for riches and wealth, hear me very well, I am going to give to you a wise and an understanding heart. And in addition, I'm going to give you wealth. What did Solomon do? Solomon honored God with what? With this substance. And guess what? Who writes this Bible verse? It is Solomon himself, the man who has results. Don't listen to these people that don't have results. Don't listen to guys that talk too much rubbish, but they don't have results, evidence to substantiate what they're saying. Here is a man who on the first day in office gave 1,000 burnt offerings. And he tells you what to do. He says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. That also includes your tithe. Your tithe goes to God. Make sure that you pay your tithe. As a believer, make sure that there is one thing that you must never miss on in your life. That's your tithe. I tithe to the E. I'm learning English these days. I tithe to the E. I make sure that I give my tithe 100%. Sometimes I even go beyond my tithe. I literally decide, okay, that's fine. I got $200 here. You know what? $20 is my tithe. I want to make sure that I give it as 50. That's what I decided to do. But I'm saying that the minimum that you give is your tithe. Your tithe has to go to the Lord without fail. This is one what undergirds prosperity. This is what brings prosperity in the lives of believers. I'm about to wrap up now. Now, listen to the promise that comes with honoring the Lord. It says, then your barns shall be filled with plenty. Your barns shall be filled with plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Do you know what that means? So let me give you the picture now. On average, every Israelite was expected of the Lord to have a barn where they put the produce that they have harvested in that year. So this is wheat. This is barley. So they were expected to put that somewhere where so that they could last and survive the entire year until the next harvest comes. Now here the Bible is saying, your barns shall be filled with plenty. The literal translation is they shall overflow. You will need to build more barns. Do you see how God is serious about you prospering? Now, when you build more barns, on average, no one would finish maybe 50 kgs alone. So if it was a family of five, you'd say 50 by 5. That's about 250 kgs. That's what they would need the entire year, just as a family. Now here we're saying you have more than, probably you have 2,000 kgs. The rest you sell off. You now have extra surplus. And then it says, so shall your wine presses be filled, shall burst forth with new wine. Not old wine, new wine. In other words, you remain relevant. Hear me very well. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to shift from poverty to abundance of wealth. But how is that going to happen? Verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance. That's what the word of the Lord is saying to us today. So I'm done speaking to you tonight. I know the people in the studio, you can sense an unction and anointing that's here. So wherever you're connecting from, I want you to start to make a conscious decision. When it comes to wealth, partner with God. Give God money. Give God, not little, lots of money. How do you give God lots of money? Give to church. We are here gathered under Apostle Mike New, who is the lead shepherd at ECCI. Get the banking details. that ECCI uses, make sure that your bank account has a standing relationship with ECCI bank details. Make sure that every week there is a credit alert that's appearing to them and a debit alert that's appearing to you, where you're sending money, sending money, sending money, sending money, sending money, sending money, send lots of money. Partner with the gospel. Partner with the movement of the gospel. Right now, as I'm speaking to you, the giving details are appearing on the screen right now. Make sure that you give your finances. Sow a seed into this ministry. This is good ground. One thing, one way that I judge good ground is when I look at the resources that are available in that ministry. It tells me this is good ground. So your financial seed into a ministry is good ground, especially into ECCI. Sow into Apostle Mike New's life. It's good ground. Good ground. Healthy ground. All ground is not the same. There is ground that's healthy. So God gives you a man of God. God gives you a vision, a commission, where he allows you to connect with. It's not of ordinary that you're connected to this commission. No. It's not just by happenstance that you're connected to this church. No. You could have been connected to another ministry in Nigeria. You could have been connected to another ministry in Europe. But you're connected to ECCI for a very good reason. God, oh, Lakrada, Stavena, Kata. You know, some of the things that I know about God, if I were to tell you some of the things, do you know that it is God that determined where you're staying right now? God literally decides where you're going to be resident on the earth all the days of your life. Elohim decided. If you have a prompting to live and go to Europe, it's not that just that your mind that told you that. Elohim actually led you into that place, saying, now you don't need to move and stay in Europe. It's actually God that's directing. Why? Because he knows that's where your assignment will be fully fulfilled. And in the place that God puts you in, he connects you to relevant graces and people. And it's those people, the servants of the Lord, that God has sent into your lives, that will cause you to prosper in advance. So I'm saying to you tonight, as the giving details are appearing on the screen, release your seed, sow your seed. If you're going to move from poverty to prosperity, you're not going to do it just by word of mouth. You're going to have to do it by allowing your substance, your wealth, your material possessions to come into the hands of the Lord, to give to God. Then you'll prosper. Then you'll advance. God bless you so much for sowing your seed. God bless you so much for giving. Tomorrow night, we're going to continue with the Shift Online Revival. Elohim has given us an instruction. God has given us an opportunity to converse on these levels. And you're never going to be the same again. You're never going to be the same again. You're never going to be the same again. Those of you that don't know how to give, you can inbox this Facebook page, Apostle Mike New, I think, and several other pages that are streaming ECCI, all this, inbox directly. There is a competent finance team that will respond to you. And I want to pray before I close. Imaro Zaviantola, Baina Kasata, Stapiano Ravena, Lekros Davila Bahas, Sibiantosa, Bratessa. Na kruse kivia kushana mako zabrida lavata. Daddy, I thank you for the believers that have connected tonight. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their wealth. I thank you that they're shifting from poverty to prosperity. I thank you that they're shifting from one level of prosperity to another level of prosperity. I thank you for where they've been. You are elevating them. You are increasing them. Tonight, Lord, I release grace. I join my faith with the faith of this house, with the servants that you've given even over this commission, Apostle Mike and Dr. Ruth. I connect, oh God, my faith with them. And I release, God, even in the believers that are connecting tonight, abundance of wealth and grace increase to flow even into their lives. Let them prosper significantly. In the name of Jesus, I pray. You shout amen. Amen. All right. God bless you so much. And thank you so much for being with us. Special honor to Apostle Mike and Dr. Ruth for allowing me to be even upon this platform. Until we meet again tomorrow, God bless you. Tell a friend, share the flyer. Bye-bye.